November 15th, 2020. And so the big, I guess, flash in the pan going on right now is the big rally in D.C. And then the what ensued afterward as people started to break away and return to their hotels, restaurants, vehicles, so forth and so on. Jackals and hyenas. Okay, they pick, you see how, I'm sure you've all watched these videos out there on the African plains and so forth, how these animals work, and that's how we have a bunch of these type of people in our country, that they act like jackals and hyenas. And so they look for somebody that's alone. They look for somebody that's protecting little ones, smaller numbers. And then the packs come in and they sucker punch people and they kick people in the back and they swing weapons at them. You know, Gateway Pundit and other people are reporting about how the D.C. police were somehow, let's say, involved with kind of vis-a-vis Charlottesville, how they were sending people into through a gauntlet, if you will, in, you know, all of these types of narratives coming out. And then, you know, you dig through some of the comments, and I don't like to dig through the comments, but I like to see where the trolls, the Hasbarat types that you know, deal with that sort of thing, where they try to take the conversation. And so now you have people trying to turn the kind of Trumpian conservatives against the police in blue cities, okay? Making it seem like if you have a whack job like Muriel Bowser in D.C., that her entire police force is somehow at her command, and they're all basically commies with badges, and they're the enemy. And you know that can't be true. Look at the basic mutiny that's going on with New York City police and Bill de Blasio. And so I'm sure there's feelings of mutiny among the Metropolitan Police Forces in the District of Columbia. And so I see how the narrative tries to get steered by the all these sock puppet megaphone types in the comment sections. You know, that's kind of what I read them for, is to see where an intelligence agency or a hostile military, and you can count wings of our own military and intelligence agencies as hostile as well, depending on what kind of command they're under and the ideological bent. You know, the Obamanoids put a whole lot of creeps into a lot of places of power. And then remember all those narratives and stories where there was a lot of retooling various positions in the federal government to where they would come under you're sort of what they would call the merit system, or they would become the permanent entrenched bureaucracy kind of positions rather than political appointments, which can be easily replaced, you know, get rid of them and so forth. And so Trump has signed some things over the last number of weeks, executive actions, to where if this guy gets in for a second term, then maybe he'll be able to detach a bunch of the dirt bags. We'll see. You got to look at what would happen if, you know, Biden gets in and then Trump did a bunch of this stuff to strengthen his position. And then Biden gets in and then he inherits this and then he can get rid of what's left of patriotic, you know, kind of constitutional minded folks. So you kind of always got to look at this, you know, glass half empty, glass half full. So we've got another semi-lockdown about to happen here in the St. Louis County, St. Louis City area. And it has to do with bars and restaurants. Okay, so you remember I covered this character, Dr. Alex Garza, who's the incident commander here in the St. Louis area of this COVID response team, if you will. And this is the guy that was the number two in the Department of Homeland Security under Janet Napolitano. Mm-hmm. Remember that? We covered this a couple weeks ago. Well, this guy, now he really made a kind of a comment that he didn't see why, you know, targeting bars and restaurants is necessarily going to be an effective method to, you know, quote unquote, combat the spread. They're running this whole hospital's full PSYOP again. And, you know, these news watchers, of course, that you interact with when you're out in public and so forth, it's getting very, very difficult for me to try to explain to people about the PCR tests. And I mean, the entire narrative of these PCR tests is just, for anyone watching, is just falling apart. I mean, Elon Musk sits here and he does four tests in the same day with the same nurse, with the same equipment, and he gets two negatives and two positives. And, I mean, it's just people, there is this thing that's gone on with people, and I tell you, it's that bad to where you really think you're in like submerged into a horror movie. The people are that dumb. And so, you know, it's great to see, you know, all these people going pretty much at the drop of a hat, going to DC. They realize the fraudulent nature of these elections. But at the same time, there's just so many people just completely asleep at the wheel, and it's just blowing me away. So, what, you know, we've got a county executive here in St. Louis County. His name's Dr. Sam Page. Now, he kind of swept in after the former county executive got ran up on a bunch of federal charges for bribery and all this stuff. So Steve Stanger, our former county executive, he's in the clink right now, or he was in the clink. I think he might still be in the clink, but we've got our own little problems here, kind of like Pennsylvania. My gosh, I just stumbled across some of these videos. You guys ever watch any of these videos? I've stumbled across these years ago where some of these YouTubers, they'll get in a car and they'll go to a city. They'll set up their camera in the dash and they just drive around the roughest neighborhoods in any given city. And you can watch some of these guys on YouTube. And I stumbled across this Kensington Avenue. Holy cow, in Philadelphia. It's a third world slum. And there's people down there that with entire YouTube channels just built on documenting the opioid crisis. I'm talking people standing up, but slumped over to where their hands are touching the ground. I mean, you're talking 5 or 10 of them out there on the street like this. I mean, in groups. Just watch it. Kensington Avenue, opioid epidemic. Kensington Avenue, Philly, drug stuff. Oh, my gosh. You're just going to be like, and I watched a lot of videos like, you know, kind of just like ghetto existence. New Orleans is pretty hardcore. But this Philly thing is a whole nother level because of the amount of trash, the amount of just waste. It's something. There's way nicer places in crappier parts of the world than this. And so, you know, I thought about this, the birthplace of our nation, you know, Philadelphia and the Constitution Hall and all this good stuff, Tun Tavern, a Marine Corps birthplace. You know, we just had the Marine Corps birthday this week, 245. And now you look at the exact same place at the twilight of the nation. It's almost, you know, God works this way. It's like poetic that the place where the nation is birthed, you know, and then you go through all the cycles, you know, on the ascendancy and men being men and so forth and so on. Then you get decadence and complacency after prosperity, and then it goes downwards into decadence and just depravity and where we're at now. And it's very depressing to watch some of this stuff. But the birth and death of our nation, and just look at it in downtown Philadelphia. So, I heard clips of Shadowgate 2, Millie Weaver. I was listening to another network, and they're not really doing radio shows right now. What they're basically doing is just bumping right up, you know, in front and back of each other, some of the real viral and most important kind of recordings and videos and so forth. And it's really, there used to be a Last Days radio network, I think, and now it's defunct, but I used to listen to them, and they did the same thing where they would just play various broadcasts and various videos just back to back to back. And they really didn't have any kind of like shows that were like, you know, broadcasters on the network. It was just a collage or a compendium of whatever the person behind the scenes would play. And, you know, there's a place for that as well. But I heard parts of Shadowgate 2, and I'm interested, and I think there's going to be a Shadowgate 3 coming out sometime soon. X-22 report. Used to be on Rents. I don't know if he's still on YouTube or not, but I listen to him. I just go to the website, and that's really your place for the best boil down and analysis to me of the Q stuff. You know, X-22 is a real Q follower, and, you know, I follow it to an extent to where I can at least kind of comment from time to time on it. So there's been 3 Q drops since last week. All right. So, and then people have done entire radio shows on like these 3 Q drops, and they're very brief. But from the 12th, Q4950, nothing can stop what is coming, nothing Q, and it's a big picture of the American flag. All right. And then also from the 12th, which was Thursday. Yeah. 49-51, shall we play a game? Nothing can stop what is coming. And then it gets into NCSWIC, and that's part of CISA. And we've been hearing all about the CISA, the Internet Security, and all that stuff. So who stepped down today was forced, and it's a guy, Brian S. Ware. Big artificial intelligence guy, big computer brain type guy, involved with some of these kind of companies behind the scenes. And then it says, more coming, question mark. Why is this relevant, question mark? How do you show the public the truth? How do you safeguard U.S. elections post-POTUS? Okay. How do you remove foreign interference and corruption and install U.S.-owned voter ID laws and other safeguards? It had to be this way. Sometimes you must walk through the darkness before you see the light. So, as we've known, the Marxist left, some of the labor unions, so forth and so on, they've been hostile to voter ID, which is treasonous and treacherous on its face, to where anybody, no matter where they are on the political spectrum, if they are a if they are an American, even a half patriot, they would want everybody's, you know, the whole Martin Luther King one man, one vote crap and all that. Well, the revolutionary Marxists do not want that. They want to cheat and lie and steal, because that's all part of a Alinskyite Marxist methodology. There is no rules. It's all about Machiavellian. The ends justifies the means. And we know that comes out of the Jesuit orders kind of thinking as well. And of course, you know, the Kosher Nostra gang, they're all Machiavellian. So we'll see what happens with this, you know, whether there's going to be any kind of reform with the voting systems. I mean, and this is what's so interesting. I sent out to a bunch of people pictures or videos of the streets of Philadelphia. And I was like, do you think election can be, I mean, you know, rigged in a city like this? I mean, so destroyed. And I know there's nicer parts and everything else, but I mean, Philadelphia is like, wow. You get into Kensington and you look at them streets and you're like, holy cow. And then the last cue drop from Friday the 13th, of course, it just says Durham, cue. Now, what's interesting, Gateway Pundit, I just, you know, I saw that cue drop on Friday, and there was a post on the Gateway Pundit. I'm trying to find it now, but okay, report. John Durham dropping his investigations into Spygate, worried about blowback from Joe Biden. Now, this is from today, from the associate editor over there at Gateway Pundit. So they're reporting that Durham was a head fake. So Q drops on Friday. Oh, Durham, Q. And now they're reporting that, you know, we already knew that he wasn't going to release his Spygate report before the election. But now there's reports that he is going to drop his investigations. He's worried about blowback from Biden. And this is from the Federalist. I'm not saying any of this is true. I just think it's interesting that you got a cue drop that says Durham on Friday, and now people are reporting that Durham ain't going to do squat. Okay, so there's no telling yet. What is interesting is some of the president's tweets, which I found pretty fascinating, where he rips on Antifa and calls them Antifa scum. Very, very, I mean, using some pretty rough language here with the on Twitter in the last day or two. So, I mean, this guy's been tweeting like mad, but calling Antifa scum twice in the tweets. It's very fascinating. All right. Because then he's showing various pictures from the rally. The media is the virus, which is real good. From yesterday, radical left Antifa scum was easily rebuffed today by the big DC MAGA rally crowd, only to return at night after 99% of the crowd had left to assault elderly people and families. Police got there, but late. Mayor's not doing her job. Well, imagine that. I mean, to make Black Lives Matter Plaza, I mean, we've got major problems, and we know it, and very, very crazy. So there was a big dust-up where Trump said something to the nature of Joe Biden only won because of the vote was totally rigged and all this. And so the entire mainstream commie media today, they go off saying Trump conceded when all he said was the only reason he won was basically doing his, you know, cheating and so forth. So Ken, get clip three ready. And we got a guest that's going to pop on the second hour and give us a kind of an update about some things going on in another part of the world in Australia. But let's go ahead and listen to clip three real quick.
Oh, panicked much, lefties? Right now trending on Twitter, you have hashtag, that's it, everybody. Trump, like, totally conceded. We did it, everybody. The gayest people did it, and the blackest people did it. Not you white bitches, and not you black dudes, by the way. Black dudes are now the who white supremacists we always knew that they were, because about 30% of black dudes would have voted for Trump, but that will not be tolerated by the super-duper progressive, tolerant, anti-racist party. Holy shit, these people are mental cases. And so you got all of these articles, Sky News, BBC, CNN, everybody who's been fucking wrong on everything for 4 years, all running out right meow and telling everybody Donald Trump conceded. Well, I guess it's over, boys. I guess it's over. I guess we can stop looking at Dominion. I guess we can stop looking at Sitel. I guess we can stop looking at Smartmatic. I guess we can stop looking at all of those votes that came in at 4 in the morning in 5 Democrat-run cities that gave this dude the fucking boost that he needed, the 700,000-plus illegal votes that he needed. I guess we can just go, that's it, boys. Pack that shit on up. Leave. Turn the lights out on your way out, and everything will be fine. No, get fucked. Get fucked, you idiots. Donald Trump didn't come out and concede. Donald Trump put this tweet out right here, and let's go through this. It says, he won because the election was rigged. No vote watchers or observers allowed. Vote tabulated by a radical left privately owned company, Dominion, with a bad reputation and bum equipment. That couldn't even qualify for Texas, which I won by a lot. The fake and silent media, and more. So to anybody who's made it through second grade, that's incredibly clear. If you've got that level of reading comprehension, you would be able to understand he's clearly not conceding. He's doing what he's been doing all week long, and he's saying that the election is rigged, that the election is stolen. But of course, we're dealing with tards on the left over here, and you dumb assholes have segregated yourself off of the interzones, and you put it safe space bubbles everywhere. I will not tolerate any Trump tweets in my feed, and I will not be exposed to any of Trump's racism's words on my Facebook's, and so I will block him from everything. So they'll never see this tweet. They'll never bother to go look at source material, and they don't have the mental acuity to kick in critical thinking skills, and so these dumb assholes are just going to sit there and get everything regurgitated and vomited into their brain by these mainstream media outlets. And the mainstream media outlets are playing you dumb idiots. This is very clear to see. Donald Trump didn't concede, but you're being told that he did concede. How much more of this will it take for you idiots to understand that you're being played, that you're being set up for a gigantic fall? Why is the mainstream media apparatus pushing out nonsense? Why is Twitter letting clear nonsense, clear election meddling trend right now on Twitter? Remember, a week ago, Twitter wouldn't let anything about Biden trend. If you wanted to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop, where he had child prawns on it, or allegedly had child prawns on it. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get sued by that fucking crackhead. This channel's getting too big. I don't want to get sued. You couldn't talk about Hunter Biden taking pictures with a kimono underneath naked, and the kimono's open. He's got a little kid next to him. None of that would trend on Twitter. And they're like, well, you know, we got to be super duper careful of all like the bads and stuff out there, the misinformation. So we're going to put all this information on lockdown. So we're going to fucking block everything. But now, a week after the election, your trending section's back up, and you're letting shit like this trend. He clearly did not tweet out that he's conceding, but you're pushing it.
You can stop it
there. Your dopes on the left.
So you get it. Oh, this is the gaslighting to the extreme. And you've got the head of the Federal Election Commission comes out and he says there's clearly evidence of fraud. And the media is sitting here calling Biden president-elect and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, it's so crazy that they're building up for this big pop that's going to happen. And what we saw was shades of today, the jackals and hyenas picking people off. We're going to see this probably all across the nation. And where it's going to stop, I don't know. But the thing is, a lot of good people live in hostile jurisdictions like we've been covering for quite a while now. And, you know, these McCloskey type people. And even though this thing might stink and it might seem a little hokey to some, it's a perfect kind of case example of what's going to happen probably to a lot of people that use their Second Amendment to defend themselves. And probably when the crap goes down, you're going to see a lot of innocent people prosecuted by Soros level prosecutors, et cetera, et cetera. And that's a whole nother level. And then you're going to get that. That's going to turn people even further, let's just say, normal people against the government organs in their local community, which will be a whole nother level of civil war. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
All right, we're back. Sin Erie Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I was listening to True News, and they were talking about a bunch of this stuff, and something pricked my ear, and it was talking about this Covington law firm. Okay, and it was originally called Covington and Burling. Okay. Founded in 1919, 101 years ago, and it's at One City Center on 10th Street Northwest in D.C. is the headquarters. Number of offices, 13, kind of interesting, and it's all over the world. Beijing, Brussels, Frankfurt, Dubai, Johannesburg, London, L.A., New York, Palo Alto, San Francisco, Seoul, Shanghai, and D.C. The firm advises multinational corporations on significant transactional litigation, regulatory, and public policy matters. Now I'm just scratching the surface here on Wikipedia, okay? But you got the Covington Catholic kids with Nick Sandman, and he was wearing his Make America Great Again hat. You've got Colby Covington, very high up, high level. I believe he's a middleweight or a welterweight. He fights at 170, I believe. And Colby Covington, and he wears a MAGA hat and so forth and so on. So you have these two, the Covington Catholic kid, Nick Sandman was the front, and he, you know, sued all those people for defamation and libel or whatever. Now you got Colby Covington. And now in this Covington Law, and I just thought it was, you know, interesting kind of name synchronicities here. So let's just go through the history here. In 2008, Covington entered into a strategic alliance with Institution Quraysh for Law and Policy, a gutter-based transnational law firm and think tank. Now, the Quraysh, that's the name of Muhammad's tribe, his Arabian tribe. Very interesting. Clients, State of California. State of California has hired Covington and Burling attorneys and former Obama Attorney General Eric Holder to fight the Trump administration. Commonwealth of Australia. According to press reports and filing with the U.S. DOJ under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, the Covington and Burling assisted the government, Australia, in pursuing the legislation to create a new visa category reserved exclusively for nationals of Australia following the enactment of the U.S.-Australia Free Trade Agreement. Okay. And the Legal Times reported that the embassy of South Korea had hired Covington and Berlin to advise on a similar visa for Korea. Creekstone Farms quality beef, and that had to do with testing cattle. Halliburton. In 2003, Halliburton hired the firm to lobby Washington on behalf of its Kellogg, Brown, and Root government operations division, the same division being pummeled by the media, the Pentagon, and the Congress for its handling of Iraq contracts. Okay? According to the filing, Covington and Burling listed the following people as lobbyists for Halliburton KBR. Senator Bob Dole, Martin Gold, former counsel to Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, Stuart Eisenstadt, U.S. Ambassador to the EU during the Clinton administration. Goes on, and I'm not going to get into that. Philip Morris and Tobacco Institute, so I guess they're all involved with, Big Tobacco. Chiquita International Brands. Partner Eric Holder in 2007 defended Chiquita International against lawsuits brought by relatives of people slain by terrorists and paramilitia belonging to the United Self-Defense Force of Colombia. Well, remember all the stuff with Wars of Rackets, Medley Butler, and it had to do with United Fruit and Produce and Chiquita and all that stuff. Very, very interesting here. G Services, formerly Blackwater. Okay. The Hill reported that Z, formerly known as Blackwater Worldwide, hired Covington and Burling to lobby on government contracts. And then that Eisenstadt character was involved with that. Port Authority of New York and the Bridgegate, they're involved in that. Representing Guantanamo Bay inmates. And there's a lot of interesting people that have worked there. And I just, John Bolton, Dean Acheson, Michael Chertoff. Isn't that interesting? I'm just rolling through Eric Holder, of course. Paul Tagliabue. I think he was involved with the NFL. If don't get me wrong with that, or no, that was Major League Baseball. Paul Tagliabue. Just a very interesting kind of big, huge law firm there, and I'm sure that I just barely scratched the surface, but I wanted to pop that in there. On Henry Mackow's site. From yesterday, is this man the Antichrist? David Meyer de Rothschild, 42 years old. Could this handsome and charismatic Jesus wannabe be the awaited Jewish false Messiah, a.k.a. the Antichrist? And it's this character named YM. He's an end times Muslim researcher with an interest in both Islamic and Christian eschatology. We're experiencing a Bolshevik takeover on a global scale to install the Antichrist New Age disorder, a great reset. A lot of people are talking about Skywatch TV and others about bringing in the Antichrist with this great reset. Of course, the attempted disappearance of cash money going on to this contact tracing goofy stuff. Now, and as a long article, Arnold Toynbee wrote, there has also been the aim of converting the Gentile world to the worship of Yahweh under the aegis of a world empire centered on Eretz Israel and ruled by the quote-unquote Lord's Anointed, a coming human king of Davidic lineage. And this goes right along with the Protocols of Zion, of course. And it's got a picture of the World Economic Forum, okay, with the ring of Saturn and three sixes. Very, very interesting. And it just gets into this whole thing with Rothschild and some of the symbolism and commercials that he's in and projects he's been involved in, where he talks about himself being not human, not reptilian. And I think it's an interesting article to read. So that's up there. We'll see what happens. He's kind of an interesting character to keep your eye on. Let's see here. Archbishop Vigano. Okay. You know, we've been writing all these articles. Well, the one of them kind of made me, let's just say, interested. Okay, from the Deep Church file, Archbishop Vigano names the names of the Vatican's quote-unquote magic circle. Okay, magic circle. And when I started kind of reading into this about the kind of deep church, and he gets into all these characters, you know, that, you know, and it's all kind of heavy duty kind of Catholic insider stuff. He used the term magic circle as far as, like, you know, your inner cabal of, let's just say, revolutionaries within the church that are in on board with the Great Reset, the kind of great Greta Thunberg-esque Laudato Si was the name of the encyclical environmental stuff. It's all UN 2030 stuff and all that. Well, remember all the Biden rallies? Where were they putting people in? What, at all these Biden rallies? They were putting them in circles, and that just, I don't know what happened there, Ken. But anyway, they were putting them all inside these circles. And I just thought that was just the weirdest thing, to where they kept doing that when they only had their 20, 22 people or 10 people or, you know, 3 people at these rallies. They always had them inside these circles. And I just thought that was pretty fascinating. A big story going around, Natural News, Steve Quayle and so forth, is about these guillotines being ordered. Canadian government publishes bid request for programmable hydraulic guillotines needed in support of Canada's response to COVID-19. All right. And it has the buy and sell .gc.ca, Public Works and Government Services Canada. The listing number is 45045-190091/A, and it is found at this link, buy and sell, blah, blah, blah. So they're putting out a bid for these hydraulic guillotines. But, you know, so Jim Stone over here, and I always pop on to see what he's saying. Stupid Canada guillotine hoax circulating. So major sites all picked up this hoax. Someone is launching hoaxes to make alt media look stupid. If you come across the guillotine story, here's the specs on the guillotine. Cutting width, 24 inches. Minimum cutting height, 3 inches. This is a paper guillotine order. Can't people read a simple requisition form? Evidently not. I'm not even going to bother linking the original post. And then he gets into this Frankfurt server non-seizure. I got to admit, the Frankfurt server story was enticing, but it takes more than that to get something posted here. In addition to enticing, it has to be accurate. Okay, so it's not that servers were not seized. It's not that Trump team did not put together that electoral map I have posted below. They do have the data, and they put it together, that map. That's not the issue at all. The issue is where all of it actually came from, and it was not Germany. I called bunk on a server seizure in Germany from second one instantly. Why? Because that's not the way it works. No foreign power can simply seize anything in another country. Well, I kind of don't necessarily agree with that. We still got a ton of military bases in Germany. They're still an occupied country. So I don't necessarily agree with that kind of premise, because when you got your military bases sitting in another person's country, you know, that to me, that speaks pretty big volumes that that country's still under your occupation. You know, I lived on a base for quite a while in Okinawa, Japan. And that's what's so fascinating is Okinawa, really, that the people of Okinawa don't really want to be part of Japan. But they're still part of Japan, and we still got bases on mainland Japan, and we've got bases in Okinawa, Air Force bases and Marine bases. So when people tell me that, you know, you can't go do something in somebody else's country, well, if you got military bases in their country, you know, I don't know. It's just, especially ones that have been due to straight up occupation after the war, I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to move on. De Blasio's daughter, that crackpot druggy daughter, his Antifa daughter, she even slipped up and said that basically Biden stole the election. I thought that was pretty funny. I had this thought come to me, and, you know, let's say Biden somehow, they get this guy in the White House and Trump doesn't stay. We'll just put it that. Remember the thing with Beto and, hell yeah, we're coming to get your AR-15s, your AK-47. And then Biden promising to make Beto basically his gun czar or what have you. It kind of just struck me the other night. I'm like, if Biden gets in, they're going to run a Sandy Hook too. And it's going to be worse. It's going to be bad. They're going to run a Sandy Hook 2 that is so bad that it's going to get not the hardcore NRA Second Amendment people to change their mind, but the squishy middle. Even though we've had all the goofy riots and we've had all this and this, and the gun sales have been through the roof, there's going to be some sort of a catalyst event that they're going to pull. If they pull this off and Biden and Harris get into the White House, they're going to run a Sandy Hook that's out of this world. And I don't know how many kids they're going to kill or disappear or hoax or whatever you want to call it, all this. But they're going to run something so bad that all the gun grabbers are going to descend, and it's going to be maddening. So I was listening to Art filling in for Rick Adams over the weekend on Rick's program, and I already had the Ticketmaster stuff in my notes that they were going to, you know, to go to their little concerts where they're booking the tickets. They're going to require some sort of a vaccination ID or proof of a negative test, blah, 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 blah. And then Art linked the Annenbergs to the frickin' Ticketmaster, and that really sealed the deal for me. And I wasn't even really – I was just looking at Ticketmaster as another corporation taking part in this. And then Art from Philly, of course, he linked the Annenbergs to Ticketmaster, and now you can see exactly why they're going to want some COVID blah, blah, blah to go to one of their little concerts. Isn't that nice? So, you know, there's a lot of things that are up in the air here, and Trump is still, I'm still alarmed by Trump's rhetoric and so forth with this vaccine. and then this clown Trudeau, Castro's son or whoever the hell this kid is, up this twink up there in Canada. I was just watching, I think it was Shaking My Head Productions that got put out yesterday, all his blustering about all the millions of doses that they're contracted, the country of Canada's contracted with Pfizer and I think it was Moderna and all these companies to just pump out millions of doses, and they're going to force the Canadians. And then the next hour we're going to talk to Sean down there in Australia about some of the machinations that's going on. You see, the British crown, folks, we have to realize, still has sway in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. All right. Big heavyweight sway. And look at Boris Johnson, this scumbag who really turned out to be a turd in the punch bowl there in England. And now he's on board with whatever Bill Gates's vaccine agenda and so forth and so on. I mean, this is, you know, and it's good to see some of the kids in England really start to, they're trying to put fences around their dorms, their college dorms, and all this crap. I mean, it's gone so draconian in the crown states of Canada and Australia, the UK, of course, and in New Zealand. And this weird alien looking trans whatever creature, Jacinda Ardern there in New Zealand, with the whole mosque incident with Quentin Tarantino, that whole thing that we covered all that. And I'm not saying they didn't kill anybody there, but what I'm saying is that was some sort of a black ops, body bag hit where they killed a bunch of people or who knows what. I mean, it's real, real scuzzy stuff. Raphael Warnock, this Senate candidate from the Ebenezer Baptist Church. Okay. Same church that I think MLK and all these characters came out of there in Atlanta. He's running for Senate in this runoff, and this guy's connected to Jeremiah Wright, and he is connected with James Cone. Remember, we talked about Cone, the real father of black liberation kind of stuff, and this guy's one of his sycophants. So you've got one of these guys running for Senate in Atlanta that's talking about where white people need to repent of white worship and all this because of wanting to vote for Trump. I mean, so you've got another hardcore anti-white black liberation theology, kind of like, these neo-Marxists. These guys were all praising Fidel Castro and all this stuff. The real problem in the American black church is its love affair with communism. And this goes all the way back to the NAACP and all the Jews that founded the NAACP. And there were Jesuits hanging around in the background as well. Jewish heads of the organization for all that time until they finally, realize, okay, we can't remain heads of this thing. And so they kind of, turned over the surface. But National African American Communist Party, real bad stuff. Coup flu. I see this word getting thrown around. The coup flu. See, the two things are connected. This COVID thing, and then somebody got the great idea to kind of, because the COVID thing had been in the works for years. But then when the political winds shifted a certain way, then they're like, we're going to use this to take down Trump as well. Somebody came up with the term Bidenzuela. Bidenzuela. Instead of Venezuela, Bidenzuela. So we're going to have Bidenzuela if Biden gets into this White House. And look, things might not go well if Trump gets back in. The Sidney Powell and these people are talking about unleashing the Kraken, and Rudy Giuliani's, gloating that they know that the election's going to be overturned and so forth and so on. We don't, even with Trump in the office, and let's say the guy is real and trying to hold back the tide of, the onslaught of the global reset, transformation into serfdom type thing. I mean, we're already serfs. I mean, I just had to pay property tax. So you own a house, but you still got to pay property taxes to send these kids to school, to learn how to hate whitey, to learn Marxism, to learn, thoughts and ideas which are staunchly anti-American, and wrap them up in the flag. This is what they're learning. They're learning against learning, as the Jesuits talk about, where they're teaching them, you know, math in the strangest sorts of ways, this common core crap where kids get so confused trying to learn math because they're trying to teach them ways to learn math, which are learning against learning. Psychobabble, victimology, self-hate, especially if you're white. The Pfizer CEO. So Pfizer announces right after Biden declares himself and then the rat media declare him the president-elect, then Pfizer, oh yeah, we got a 90% effective virus. Then the CEO dumps all kinds of stock. So wait a minute, the stock was shooting up. So he dumps it. What does this mean? Is the virus, is the thing's going to get exposed as a hoax? Is it going to get exposed as some sort of a deadly, you know, DNA altering mark of the beast crap? You know, it's just insane. Jennifer Rubin. Any R now promoting rejection of an election or calling to not follow the will of the voters or making baseless allegations of fraud should never serve in office, join a corporate board, find a faculty position, or be accepted into polite society. We have a list. Now, she's supposed to be relatively conservative, supposedly. It really kind of mirrors AOC and it mirrors Jake Tapper. So now you're seeing the communist talking point that anybody that questions the election's integrity, you don't even deserve a place in society. Whereas on the other side of the house, they questioned the last election the entire time and said there was collusion and interference and hacking and all this other stuff. This is the duplicity and hypocrisy of the modern American Democratic Party, left, whatever you want to call them. All right, we'll see you guys on the other side, and we'll bring on our guests. Go ahead and link up with them if you can, Ken.
Because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.